Blog Talk Radio.
Global Village. Get ready as we explore the expansiveness of human consciousness, discuss mystical experiences, and chat with intriguing guests on the unexplained, the mystical, and the supernatural. Remember to call in with your questions live on air, because Dr. Douglas is one of those rare individuals, like Edgar Cayce, Paul Solomon, and Ross Peterson, who found a way to access an energetic merge point where all consciousness and knowledge is shared. Scientists are now calling this the quantum field. So relax, listen in, and let's journey through the Global Village.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Douglas James Cottrell, and I'm joined tonight with our good friend, Paul Hughes, who's standing in as our co-host tonight for our good friend, Doug Bentley, who's out of town, literally out of town. He's got one of those chores in family life where he's changing residences. So we wish him well. It's a blowy, snowy, cold, and winter time. You expect Santa Claus to be coming around the corner here any day. And here we're on our way to Valentine's Day. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, welcome to the show. Paul, as you know, my friends, has been producing the show here for the last several months, and he's done an excellent job. And so we're promoting or demoting, depending how you look at it, Paul. Welcome to the show as my good friend and co-host tonight. Paul has a long experience in radio. It goes back over decades. He is a businessman, and I think he's coming up to that when every day is Saturday time, you know, when you get in your life. Welcome to the show, Paul. How are you tonight, sir? We're having a teeny bit problem with your audio, maybe, Paul? Okay, well, I guess I'm not sure what's going on there, Paul. We seem to have a problem with the microphone. The microphones look open. Maybe you want to call in on the guest line or if that's a problem. But if you're working out okay there, fine. I'll just carry on here. Tonight, everybody, we're talking about that creative force that goes through everything. That force that in the Bible is called virtue. And virtue is the force that's invisible. It migrates through everything, and it it's invisible and it's amazing. Virtue is that force that, you know, from Chinese acupuncture to Reiki to spiritual healing, to laying on of hands, has the ability to transform things, to be a creative force. In a healing way, it takes away pain. It helps you accelerate your healing properties, whatever it might be, accelerating. Perhaps you have a cut in your arm, and it accelerates it. There was a story about a lady who stepped out of her limousine and stepped into something, slipped, and a big gash in her leg occurred. Elderly lady. She went to the physician, and then they bandaged it up, and she came home and called up some for some spiritual healing, virtue healing, and went back 3 or 4 days later for a checkup to the physician, and this gash had completely healed up. It was about 2-3 weeks ahead of schedule, and the physician was just amazed at how this lady's healing properties in her leg had accelerated. Of course, she didn't tell him that she was receiving spiritual healing or virtue healing. She just mentioned that how lucky she was or how fortunate it was. And the doctor thought, well, maybe it wasn't as bad as he originally had thought, but it was. So the idea that this virtue has practical applications, that it has the ability to accelerate healing, it also has other abilities, and that is to enhance your spiritual qualities. That is to say, your dreams, your visions, your ability to see the future in a prophetic way. All these aspects of the spiritual gifts recorded in the good book in the Bible, these are the aspects of virtue. And we kind of lump them into something that, you know, we kind of say the mysticism or the psychic stuff or the spiritual world or whatever. We really haven't been able to define exactly what virtue is. I know when we look out and we talk to people about what is virtue healing, we're told that this is basically, you know, in Exodus tells us God, the Lord, is healing us. And we go on to other biblical things. Virtue is viewed as the habitual capacity of a person to respond freely and consciously to situations and matters that reflect and intensifies his conformity to the biblical understandings of the Christ consciousness. I don't know. What are the four types of healing? Primary, secondary, tertiary, and stages. Okay. But what about virtue? Where does it come? You know, the closest we get is to understanding the seven heavenly virtues of faith, hope, charity, fortitude, justice, temperance, and prudence. Those are intellectual pursuits, but what is that quality, what is that ability that we have that is to the supernatural, to those qualities of attributed to the mystical and the spiritual and the metaphysical? What are they? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about those tonight, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Hope Conference that's coming up here in not too distant future. And if you want to know more about it, go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and you will see that the themes coming up are the DNA of your soul. And we're going to talk about near-death experiences and the latest scientific information about that and how you become aware of your immortal soul. And you are self-aware at the time of your passing, to the point that you can remember when you come back into the world, and all the scientific research on that. I mean, it's really getting to be now an important study, the same as dreams and what goes on in the dream states. That's becoming a really important issue in scientific research. Things I've been talking about, not to pat myself on the back too much, but things I've been talking about, researching, and looking at for about 50 years. It's becoming more prominent now, in as much as it always was there. Always, always, always. But now it's coming into the guise of scientific research, the study of the noetic sciences, so to speak, the mysticism of the Christ, the illumination of the Christ, and the Christ consciousness. We're going to talk about divine guidance for prosperity. Did you know you can use this virtue energy to help you increase your wealth and well-being? Of course you can, because the spiritual forces around us are always creating and giving and multiplying. If you want to know what God is, in a very simplistic but pretty much exact way, God is creation. That's right. The increasing, the giving, the growing. You know, you put a mustard seed, a flower, a rose in the soil, and from that seed comes a plant, and then there comes a flower, a blossom, or fruit, or something edible. That's the gain. How did that happen? How did that little time capsule of a seed blossom into a huge plant, or a pineapple, or an apple tree? Well, it's because virtue is going through that tree. It starts off in the seed. It's implanted in the seed from its mother plant or mother tree, if you will. And somehow, somewhere, that little seed, as hard as a rock, turns into an amazing plant. How does that happen? We're going to talk about that, about the aspects of virtue and the scientific study that's looking at those particular improvements, awareness, understanding of how that process can be, I don't want to say tamed, I'd rather say understood. You know, farmers do a good job. They go out and they prepare a field and they till it, they prepare it, they fertilize it, and they put seeds in, let's say potatoes. They put little teeny potatoes in, and every one of those little potatoes is a seed. And it grows in rows and rows, and one of those little potatoes might come out to be a dozen or more full, large, big potatoes. So from itself, a little golf ball size potato seed, it has become gigantic potatoes. And you know, some of those potatoes, like your two-handers, right? How does that happen? Well, with the virtue, energy of multiplication, of amplification, of that vibration or consciousness inside the seed potato. The multiplication of it is God in action. So when you see creative activities like that, when you see the multiplication, the growth of something, you're seeing God in action, again, on the most simplest forms or simplest level. That is what, in part, we're going to talk about at the HOPE Conference coming up on the very short future, 10th, 11th, and 12th of February. That's like really short steps. Today's the 3rd of February. Oh, my gosh, we're going to be there in a week. I'll be there. I'll be making my road trip down to Fort Worth, Texas, as many of other people are doing. Some are flying in, some are going to take cars, and I'll bet you a few of them, Paul, are just going to take the bus if they live in the Fort Worth area. What do you think about that?
I might even take a train. That's right. we've got people coming from Texas, all over the United States, Canada. And I'm looking forward to it. So thank you. It's good to be here. We had a little audio problem at the beginning of the show, and some of the callers expressed the problem. And basically, we waved the magic wand, and it's all taken care of. So we're in good shape.
I see that. I see that people are queuing up. The number to call my friend is 718-766-4421, 718-766-4421. You know what, Paul? Let's blame this on that Chinese balloon that's going across the country. That's what it is. It's over top of Blog Talk Radio Network, and it's listening in. It's heard about us, and they say, "Oh, what's that guy? Douglas James Cottrell, Global Village Radio Show. He talks about the future and all kinds of amazing things. Let's tap into his show tonight." We're being recorded by a balloon flying across the country. Well, that's our story. We might not stick to it, but that's a good story.
That's good. Real good. Yeah.
So anyway, people, go look to douglasjamescottrell.com, and there's more on the conference. And many of the things that we're going to do there, we only touched on a few, like the DNA of your soul, near-death experiences, but we're going to do an intense look at study the language of your soul, dreams, and the dream states, and also how to get some divine guidance for prosperity. It's not cheating. This is the way to get opportunities, to incubate opportunities to come into your life. And, of course, we're going to round up the ceremony or the conference with a virtual healing session, and people will be able to feel the intensity of this virtue that we experience on Sunday. So everybody, you know, check it out, douglasjamescottrell.com, and come on down to Texas. We'll hope to see you there next weekend. And, you know, bring your swimsuits and your suntan lotion. It's going to be nice and warm and bright. I'm not making a prediction, but that's my impression of what it's going to be like. Anyway, Paul, we're, as I said at the top of the show, our good friend Doug Bentley is off for the evening. He's changing addresses or residences as we speak. And we wish him well, and we're just let him know we're thinking about him as we talk about the show tonight. Where are we going to go? Let's hit the phone lines here. And, you know, it's nice and cold outside, my friend. So let's have a nice warm reception for those people calling in. 718-766-4421. 718's the area code. 766-4421 is the magic number. Where are we going next, Paul?
We're going up to sunny New York, Douglas. We've got Vince on the line.
Hi.
Hello, Vince.
How are you?
How are you doing? It's been a while. You see, you're doing okay? What's up?
No, I'm not. I'm really down. I started a new job, and the end of November, great company, great paying job and everything. I was in training. I wasn't getting the information as quick as they wanted to, so they extended my training for a couple weeks, and then today business said, hey, it's not working out, you're fired.
I'm so sorry to hear that, Vince. Wow.
Yeah, I just don't know what I'm going to do unless I get a job, like, very quickly, and I'm just, like, in tears. And I'm panicking right now because, you know, it's just a horrific situation at this point for me, and I just don't know what to do. So,
okay. Well, first of all, it's I want you to, as much as this is a termination, you know, one door closes, another one opens, as they say, and that's very true. There's a full moon out there coming up to one now, which makes everybody a little antsy. It's good to have things ending on a full moon and moving forward. So my intuition is I can see you walking down the street. You got your hands in your pockets, and, you know, you're looking kind of, you know, where am I going to go? And then I see a big red brick building off to the left, and somebody up on the second floor is waving at you, over here, over here. Okay, so I guess that's, if I look at that symbology, you're out on the street pounding the bricks looking for a job, and then there'll be a big building, four or five stories high, maybe a little bit lower, maybe a little higher, and I see somebody on the second floor put their hand out the window saying, over here. So if that's an indication, if that's an impression, then head on over to, walking down the street or whatever, and you see some tall buildings that kind of fit that description, pop over and... you know, maybe the second floor or third floor. It's not the first floor, but it might be the second or third floor, and check them out. Now, you know, we've been talking for a couple of years, you and I, over the phone, and you've gone through this before where you've had these interruptions. So I think maybe you need something like a repetitive job, you know, something that you do simply and repetitively. I know, like drive a tow motor, load trucks, deliver newspapers. Yeah. I'm making this up. I'm not suggesting, you know, but something that's repetitive and kind of straightforward, you know. What do you think about that?
But it's funny because when you said that, that's a job that I just got fired from. Now, I do have a friend on the inside. She was one of the trainers there, and she moved on to a new position. She's working from home right now because she's sick. I called her immediately. She called me back, and I told her what happened, and she was shocked. So she said she's going to, because she said they do have a warehouse, and she knows the manager there, and she's going to try and get me back in, but in the warehouse. So I wouldn't have to Yeah.
That fits my image, doesn't it? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm looking right now, actually. I'm looking on the website to see what they have there. And hopefully I can find something that you can get me back in. But if not, I don't know what else I'm going to do. I've already turned down two jobs because I thought this job was going to last forever. And, you know, and now it's like I'm really screwed, you know, up the creek without a paddle, so to speak.
No, don't think that, man. So that's the fetus attitude, and that's just you feeling, you know, hurt. And the thing, yeah. You turn down a couple of jobs to get this one. Well, that's pretty cool. At least you're getting jobs. And I know this right off. Anybody out there, the world right now is looking for workers. Right now, there's a shortage of workers all over. Okay, so number one, hold that in your mind. Number two, you just told me, you just confirmed the impression I had, and from the image I got without knowing or what your friend was going to do. And then number three, you have a friend who's going to come to your help and talk to the manager over there. So I would feel like, okay, don't feel rejected. Yeah, just say, well, that was the wrong place for me. Okay, I'm going to go to the warehouse.
Yeah, she's a real sweetheart. Her name is Amber, and she's always, we just met, and it's almost like we have instant karma, like friendship-wise, and she's going through some medical issues right now, too, and I've been talking to her, and she's a real sweetheart. She's an ex-cop, worked in New York as a state trooper, and then she got this job after she was shot at a mall. So, she's really a wonderful woman. So, I told my wife that they wouldn't love each other. But anyway, how long do you think it'll be before I get this job?
I see you walking down the street. You're kind of looking dejected. I see somebody on the second floor of a big red building or something, probably a warehouse. And come on over. So this is going to be like, I'd be over there next week. She's going to try to line this up for you, right?
Yeah, she said this before I apply, because I just put it in the thing there on the job search, and I'm going to apply for it. But she said, don't apply for it. Call me. Give me the code number that they have on that job, and I will make the phone call for you and see what I can do for you. And they pay very well, too. They pay the same because it's the same company.
Okay.
So, yeah, and she said I'd be
for it. Yeah, okay. Let's say the virtue energy is flowing through the universe, and they said it's not working out where that particular place was, and the virtue is promoting you, pushing you, guiding you, taking you over there by the hand to a place where you're going to be happy, where you're going to fit in. And that's the most important is like... To be happy in a job that you do, even if you take a little less in pay, doesn't matter. It's when you're happy, it's like playtime all the time. So I'm going to let you go because we have some other people waiting in the future, waiting in the queue for it to see about. But and I was going to say, so we'll call us back in the future and let us know that you're doing okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did want to tell you about the story there pertaining to what you're talking about. My wife, Kathy, over the last 15 years, we've gone through three cats that we've had to put this, and the last one was back in August, and she told me that she's been having dreams that them at the other side waiting for her the last couple of months, and with her health deteriorating, she keeps telling me she doesn't feel like she's going to last out the end of this year.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I'm not saying anything. I'm just doing whatever I can to make her happy and show her I love her and be there and just do whatever I can to make the moments last, whatever time we do have. And, it's just really kind of heartbreaking. I mean, I'm glad that she dreams about them, thinks about them, but not in that aspect, So it's been really heartbreaking that she's going that way.
I'm sorry to hear that, Vince.
Yeah.
That's, but if she's getting some dream indications, then that's kind of like, you know, everything in its time. And well, we'll send out some virtue energy to her. Paul and I will make a note of it on Sunday. You can go to our website, internationalschooloftheprophets.com, and log in to the virtue healing service that we have, and we can send some virtue energy, which we do. It's like laying on of hands. We can send that to your lovely wife, and let's, you know, hope and pray that helps.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, just go to the internationalschooloftheprophets.com, and you'll see it right on the front there. It says Sunday service. Click on, and we'll you'll be on a Zoom. It's a Zoom call. You'll see people from all over, and we'll do our best to help. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Vince. You're welcome, my friend. Take care. Good night. Okay. Again, everybody, the number to call in is 718-766-4421. Okay, where are we going next?
Douglas, we're going up to the Windy City. Carol is calling in from Chicago.
Hello,
hello?
Carol.
Hey, hey, everybody. Yes, Dr. Patel.
Hey, everybody.
Before I ask my question, I have a comment to make. Two or three radio shows ago, you had mentioned that my nemesis down the street was going to, you know, be carried off to wherever she was going to be carried off to, and you said that you wouldn't see anymore. You, in my opinion, knew then that she was going somewhere far beyond. You knew then that she was going to the other side.
That's on.
Yeah, you
yes.
knew then.
That's on, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but you didn't say anything, but you knew then. Because I had an epiphany. I said, he knew then. You knew then. But anyway.
Well, sometimes you don't think things. When I said she's going far away.
No, you said she's not coming back. You know, you said she's not coming back.
Yeah,
and I didn't
same
catch
thing.
It. And my friend, she caught it. She said, you don't catch anything. I said, yeah, I didn't catch it until I had an epiphany today.
You know, well, thank you very much for the compliment. I appreciate that. I do tend to, over years of experience, in circumstances like that, it's the proper way to be diplomatic. Because I was answering your question about this situation, this lady, and saying she was going away and not come back, and those are very nice, polite ways of you know, describing something that happened. So, but again, your friend caught up. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah. Later, you said that you got specific that she would be going to the other side. She would be. Yeah, you got specific.
Okay.
But my friend, she always catches it. She listens to you and she catches it.
Oh, God bless her. God bless her heart.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's cold. Pardon?
Here's my question, Dr. Cottrell. Is there anyone, a relative or anyone else that has crossed over who wants to communicate with me? Do you see anything like that or no?
Well, that's kind of, the answer is I can see somebody reaching down. I'm not sure if it's a darker face, but they have white lines under their eyes, like I would say accented baggy eyes, and all I see is they're reaching down from an upstairs window. They got their one arm stretched out, and I can see their arm and their head or their face with these baggy eyes. I don't hear anything, but they're reaching out to you, I guess, is what the symbolism, because people on the other side don't speak earth languages. You know, we hear them sometimes when they talk to us and they say a few words, but basically the spiritual communication is like dreams or meditation, and like the things we're going to talk about, divine guidance and, you know, how to communicate with angels, how to recognize their presence or their the limitations that I'm talking about, and how they try to keep us on the spiritual path in our own development. And so we kind of learn the rules, which I'm going to talk about more in depth in Texas. And one of the rules is that they speak in pantomime, or they give a scene, which is whoever this relative is, she doesn't have long hair. It's kind of shortish. I mean, when I'm describing hair and things and clothes and whatever, this is how they appear. There's no such thing as ghost clothes or, you know, hair. And somebody was talking to me the other day about seeing a divine figure in an aquarium full of water. And I said, well, remember, there is no such water in the higher dimensions, but it appears to be what you would think it would be. In other words, your attention would say, oh, the person's behind a glass wall. They must be in an aquarium, and therefore whatever the color is must be water. And the real understanding, the really astute, aware person would say, no, there's no water in the universe, in the spiritual realm, in this image. It's a symbol. And so the same thing with this lady reaching down, and I'm sort of describing kind of a hair around the head, kind of curly, reaching us like the woman's upside down trying to reach down. Have you lost anybody that looks like a grandmother or an auntie that's kind of like that? But the big thing is white marks under the eyes. I'm assuming they're baggy eyes. Does that sound like anybody?
It sounds like my neighbor down the street who died. She's been dead a long time, but she was the one who introduced me to spiritualism, and that's what comes to mind right now. But you know, a lot of times when you're telling people something, sometimes they'll say you're wrong, but you're not, because they've forgotten or they haven't been introduced to the relative. You know, so but what comes
that's
to
true.
Mind is a lady down the street. Name is Branch, who died a while ago.
Okay, well, yep. And as soon as you start talking about the lady pulls her arm back and then grasps both her hands together. Not like prayer, but kind of puts her hands, one hand in the other, like she's praying. So that's the second image, which means, yes, this is who it is. First, she's reaching down. I describe the way she looks, and then when you mention her name, she pulls her hands back to her chest and kind of like, you know, wiggles her hands, or, you know, like yes, that kind of thing. So that's who it is. I don't think there's no message other than to say she's there watching over you, I guess.
Yeah, because she used to have seances down the house, and I would peep in the window, and she'd say, get away from here. But
Say that again.
You would go around the house and you would look in the window, and she would say, get away from him, because, you know, sometimes they would have seances or prayer sessions, and they would light candles, and that's what they would do.
So she was looking out of a window? Was that
No,
was
I was looking into her window to see what they were doing, you know, to see what
okay, well,
they
you see.
You know, she wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, she wouldn't let me in at that time because I was, you know, smaller. She wouldn't let me in at that time. But as I got older, I would go
right.
down the house and talk to her and all that stuff. But I used to peep in her window and see what they were doing.
Okay, so the image the lady that I saw was reaching down from above, it would be like she was reaching out of a window to wave at you.
Yeah.
That I did not know. So the image I'm looking at is like she's reaching, like looking down out of a window, reaching down with her one arm. So that's her symbol, that I did not know that she was reaching out of a window or talking to you out of a window when you were younger. And that's what she's trying to, by giving me that image, only you knew that. And that's what it looks like. She's like reaching down from above, but it would be like a window because it looks like a window frame. And If she was doing that, she would be leaning on the window frame looking down, not like from the heavens above. Otherwise, she would have been just floating. So there's her message. She's still there, and probably you can communicate with her through some sort of candlelight ceremony.
And Dr. Katya, one of the reasons some of them can't talk is because of the vibrations that we have here. They were not on the same vibration or frequency. That's why they can't, you know, outright talk to you like a general conversation. Is because of the frequency and vibrations.
Well, you're trying to put a bunch of words together to understand that they're in a different dimension. They don't talk over there. In the other dimension, it's all telepathy. It's all thought. So in order to talk back to us in words, they only say a few words. They don't have a conversation. If you have a vision or a visitation, they may say a few words like, those Wednesday night meetings were good. That's a lot. Or they might say, don't get in the car. Or they might say, he's the right one. Or they might say, there or he's, he or she's going to help. Something like that. When you pray and you ask for communication from an angel or divine, we're going to talk again more about that in the Hope Conference, of course, and give you some techniques on how to do that. But the idea is that they don't speak English. Okay? The language of the soul is through visualization, through symbols or images or pantomime is what I call it. And that leads into dreams and then visions, premonitions, precognitions. Then it gets into feelings, clairsentient, those other feelings that go bump in the night. And to answer your question is, they can't, it's a different vibration or whatever. Somebody told me they're about 2 seconds ahead of us in time. Now, that was a symbol. Somebody was telling me that to give me an idea. Like, they're 2 seconds ahead of us in time, so they're close, but they're ahead of us. We can't catch up. We're always two steps behind, you might say. So the answer to the question in that long answer is basically, the reason they can't talk to you is because they don't speak the language anymore. After a time, they understand what you're thinking or saying or wanting to know, because your thinking or your thoughts are reaching out, and I understand that. But not very often can they come back in a conversation and say, the will's behind the door on the third panel down. Just take it off the wall and you'll find the will back there. They don't do that. But they'll give you a picture of something behind the door with a black spot on it. And you'll wonder, what the heck's that? If you go and look, then you'll find that there's a wooden panel with a pine board with a black nut that's gone dark or black. And that's the one you pull off the wall, and there behind it is the buried treasure, like the jewelry or the will or something like that. Now, I know I've done these things before. I've found things for people like that, bags of jewelry up in an attic, up in a ceiling in the basement beside a certain pillar or whatever, and giving the person directions who was going to receive the jewelry, because the grandmommy wanted to make sure she got it. So I was led in picture step by step to the place, instead of saying in the basement ceiling, which would have been a whole lot easier. Instead, it was down the stairs, turn right, go over two support posts, reach up, move the panel, reach up inside, and there's a dusty old bag of, you know, family heirlooms. So you see, that's a real story, really happened. So that's the idea that why they can't talk, but they do say words. It is possible to talk. Make sense?
A little. I gotta dwell into that more often, because I'm still thinking that in order for you to get to another dimension, it has to be the frequency. But they are.
Well, you don't.
It's the mind.
You just. I know. What is that? What's the frequency? What does that mean? What is it exactly? I don't think you can tell me.
Everything
I don't
vibrates. Everything vibrates. And depending on what realm or dimension you're in, this is my perception, what realm or dimension that you're in is will cause you to either, you know, be understood or not because of the vibrations. And you're not in the same vibration, so you won't communicate.
Well, I agree with that. I'll accept that. Now you know why they can't talk, because the vibration, when we talk, think about it, I'm speaking by expressing air as it's going over my vocal cords. My vocal cords are vibrating, and it's sending out a vibration through my mouth and into this microphone. So that is how we communicate through the air, right? Mm-hmm. You're hearing the vibration of my larynx through the air into the microphone, and of course the same backwards as you're talking to me. So if they're in a different frequency, voice levels that, I don't know, Paul would know more than this about that than me. If your voice is, say, between 20 and 30 as the vibration frequency field, excuse me, and they're talking at 50 or 10, we're not going to hear them. It's like audible sound. We have a very short or narrow band that we hear. Above it, we don't hear anything. Below it, we don't hear anything. And so I think I'm going to use that, Carol. I think that's a good way of describing it in the other dimensions. They're above and below what's audible. And what's audible in this dimension is not in the other dimension. So there you go. You're right on the money.
I had to work it out in my mind. That's the problem. So I have to. Okay, one last question, Dr. Patrick, before I go. Okay.
No, you got lots of time. No worries.
Will I meet you in another lifetime or no? Or do you foresee that?
I'm forward-looking, but not that much forward. More than likely, because when people meet, and you meet thousands of people in your lifetime, and you make connections, and if you've been around since the beginning, sure. What do we got going? The second. What do we got going here, Paul? We got a little.
It comes in and out. My phone comes in and out sometimes.
Okay. Carol, is your phone close to your speaker on your radio or?
No, this is it's like a landline phone. I'm on that phone. I'm not on a cell phone. I'm on like a landline phone, and it doesn't function out the internet, but. It's like a landline phone.
Well, just as long as you don't have two different sources of our show coming through two different sources.
Yeah.
I don't think so. And last question,
Turn the speaker down on the computer. Are you at the computer in front of you? Yeah, turn the speaker down on the computer. You just have the phone, no computer?
Because
it sometimes happens when the volume on the computer is turned up and the phone's on, then they conflict like they're doing. But that sounds, talk to us now. That sounds better.
Okay, I'll turn down the volume.
That's it.
Yeah, that's fine. You got it. So as I was saying just a moment before, that the different frequencies in the spiritual realm is similar to the audible realm here. We hear in a certain parameter or range, and above or below that, we don't hear. And that's why we can't hear the people on the other side and why they can't talk to us, because they're in a different range. Okay, then the next thing you were going to ask was?
Oh, lastly. In other words, how do you know someone is going to the other side in a particular year? In other words, how do you know that someone is going? I know the light dims, the aura, you know, is fading in and out. But how do you gauge that, let's say in 2023, that they're going to the other side? How do you gauge if a person is doing that? You see it, you feel it, but how do you know it's 2023 and not 2050?
Well, sometimes when you are looking about other people, that might be an intrusion, and so you're not told. There's no rule that says everything has to be said because somebody asked a question. Usually, if it's an intrusion upon somebody else's welfare, you don't get any answer at all. So the question is, if you were asking about, pardon me, if you're asking about a relative and it's meaningful to you that you should know and you want to know, then you might get an answer like, this is the year so-and-so passes. Or you might just know. As when my daughter passed away, we knew she was going to go, and it wasn't a surprise. We knew it was her time to go. So, and the same when you know about people, you get a feeling, you get a sense. You might have a picture in your mind's eye of being at their funeral. You might see a date, but you might not see the whole date. You might see the month and the day. There's all little glimpses that prepares you to understand. But do you know for certain? The answer is no. I mean, I'm pretty good at, you know, things, but I know that the rule of thumb out there in the universe is that nobody knows it all. Nobody knows what's in the mind of God. We all know in part. And so it's your privilege or your worthiness that allows you to know those things when somebody's going to pass away. Now, in practical terms, again, we're going to talk about this conference about near-death experiences and things like that. And in part, I'm going to talk about this where I know when sometimes my friends are going to pass away, and I pretend I don't. I know when people I mean met or know that they're going to pass away, and if they're a client or something, or if they're not, they're just people I sort of know, I'd be very polite, and I would say, you know, I was just looking over my will the other day, and I realized I hadn't had it updated in years. So I'm heading off to the lawyer in a little bit to get my will updated. So have you got yours updated? When was the last time, and what can I expect? And the person will say to me, well, you know what comes thing, but I don't have a will. And I'll say, really? Everybody ought to have a will, because if you don't, Uncle Sam's going to take all the cash, and the kids aren't going to get zip, or the lawyers are going to have a escrow problem, or there's going to be something. You know, you got to get that will. And then, you know, what if the kids want to, you know, burn you and trash you, you know, like throw your ashes? Yes, Dad always wanted to be cremated and thrown on the garbage heap. Yeah, that's what he wanted. You know, I'm being funny because, you know, sometimes kids don't like their parents. But anyway, that's called humor in a crisis or an awkward moment. So the point being is that I would couch that in such a way as to say I'm getting my will. And many times people who I've said that over the years, because I meet a lot of people, they would say, you know, I haven't got a will. I've always thought about it. And I'll say, well, you know, you're 65 or 70 now. What the heck? And they'll say, you know, I'm going to call up the lawyer tomorrow. How much does it cost? Say $500. And I said, whatever it costs, you know, like you just go down with a list of things, you know, bank accounts, insurance papers, whatever you got going. And you give it to the lawyer and you say, who gets what percentage-wise or independently? And they'll write it up because they have wills in the computer. They just fill in the blanks and they spit one out and you got your will for a few bucks. And you know, many times people have done that. My parents in particular, before my dad passed away, I asked them if they had a will, and my father had a will from the 1940s. And back then, wills were made out a little differently, and they were grossly differently. And so the lawyer came over to the house and made up my mom and dad's will, and it was a lady, and the lady put three little words in there, tenants in common, in the will. And that saved my mother death taxes. If those three words weren't in the will, my mother would have had to do something legally and would have had to pay death taxes, or what's called death taxes. And because that lady came over, because I suggested to my folks that they would do that, my dad gave all of my dad's assets, or they that were belonged to him, were transferred to my mother with zero tax. So tenants in common was the phrase. I never forgot it because I never heard it before. And I just spontaneously said that one day. My father passed away a few years later, but that was, again, a hunch, a feeling, a sense. So do I know when people are going to pass away? My relatives and friends, well, we all do. We all just know. We get a sad feeling, or we have a dream that they're not there or something. There is that virtue intelligence that flows through everything that we're going to talk about and teach and demonstrate, and we do here on the show, and we do in person, and we do in the thing in Texas at the conference. And more people are aware of it because I'm explaining it in ways that are understandable and practical. It's not double talk. I'm not making things up, not talking academically. I'm giving real experiences, sort of real interpretation of those experiences. And I'm not just talking to you, Carol. I'm talking to everybody on the show here tonight. And I hope people are listening and they will go get their own will made up and things like that. Because sometimes when we talk, it's not for our benefit, it's for the benefit of people listening out there. And so you asking about questions like that, I mean, going down this direction about all these inferences and circumstances, there's probably people out there right now nodding their head, making a little note or putting it on their cell phone saying, yes, call lawyer, make will tomorrow. Because it's a tragedy when you have valuable things and maybe families get in a big fight over something that a simple piece of paper would say, you get this, you get that, and this is what I want to happen to me after I pass away. But you have to put it down, and nobody really likes to think about that, but it's one of the most valuable things you can possibly have. We plan, somebody said to me once, we plan how to, for a wedding, more than we plan for our own passing. So take a word to the wise, everybody out there. I know it might sound one of those duties in life to do, but it's a very, very important thing to do. And answering your question, Carol, tonight is like the same thing, is that, you know, you cannot know finite, but you can have a feeling or a sense. And you go with it. And then once you accept the first thing, like, oh, somebody's going to pass away, and your first reaction is, no, they're not. We've got to fix it. Let's go to the doctor. Let's do something. And destiny's already set. So you say, okay, as you heard Vince earlier on the show, if you were here, he was saying he and his wife have already got a little bit of a hint that she's making progress towards going home. And so he said, as a nice, dutifully husband that he is, that he's going to try to love her as much as he can and make her comfortable and do the best they can in the time they have left. That's the advantage of being able to know, sense, or feel the future. That's a privilege, actually. It's not a surprise. And so when things happen that are finite, then we can deal with them. We don't get over them. We don't stop grieving. But we kind of can have some peace in saying that, well, there was nothing else that could be done. See what I mean?
But once you understand death, it gets a little better because you know you'll see them again. But it to me, it is good and it is it's and bad because you know that they're going, you know. And Dr. Cox,
yeah,
what do you do when you, okay.
Better to know than not.
A person comes into your office and they are a bad human being. They're bad. And you know that they're going to the other side, let's say real soon, let's say in a month. Do you give them a reading or do you say, I don't see anything? What do you do with that person? They're a very bad person.
Okay.
And you have an imminent feeling that you know that they're going to the other side in 3 weeks.
Okay.
Or next
we're
month.
You have a way for hypotheticals, Carol.
No, but I mean, what do you do, Dr. Because you have faced that before.
Well, of course they have.
Do you say I don't see anything?
I've had people that come to see me who work for the government and have worked in the military and have taken life and things like that. And are they bad? That's not for me to judge. They come into my office and ask for help. They pay me money. I give them answers. I don't judge them. And I don't hide anything from anybody because I learned a long, long time ago when a lady came and asked about a young man and I was just starting out and I had an image where there was only a body with two arms and I couldn't see anything else from the waist down. And so I said, well, you know, I think he's having some trouble. He doesn't have a leg to stand on and, you know, he's not very well balanced and, you know, I'm not sure if he's got his life together. And, you know, I was making up all kinds of cliches or trying to read into this image. And the lady turned to me and she said, Douglas, I'm quite psychic. Tell me what you see, because you're not telling me everything. I know that.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, to tell you the truth, what I see is that he doesn't have any legs. And the lady looked at me in a very motherly way and said, that's exactly right. He's double amputated legs. And I never, ever forgot that teaching. So when somebody, to answer your question, Carol, comes into my office, they're not good or bad. They're just somebody looking for help. And I say what I see. And of course, sometimes I massage it a little bit. I mean, you know, we're talking on radio here, but I can, when it's necessary and people want to know, I can answer directly. Now, on the other side of the coin, let me give another, for instance, because it just popped in my head. A family came to me and mommy was in an iron lung or was on life support. And they said to me, whatever you say, we're going to do. Is she brain dead or not? She had two little kids. She wasn't that old. And she had been in this iron lung, I call it, she's been on life support. And everybody thought the doctors were saying she's brain dead. Why make the woman suffer? And what was I going to do in that? Oh, my God. We're going to do what you say. We're going to, you know, pull the plug or we're going to keep her in the iron lung or the life support. What are you going to do? Whatever you do, Douglas, we're going to say because we don't know what to do. Nobody can see into her mind. Nobody can talk to her soul. What are you seeing? What are we going to do? Holy moly, what about pressure? I was in about 25 years old at the time. So immediately in my mind's eye, I saw an extension cord and there was a plug where you push one plug into a male into the female end of the plug. And I saw two hands take both ends of this extension and pull it apart. What do you think that meant? It meant pull the plug, unplug the machine. And so that's what I told them, and they thanked me profusely. They paid me for my fee. I never saw them again. I worried about that for some time. Did I do the right thing? Did I see the right thing? It was so plain, though. There was no mistake. You're unplugging an electric plug or whatever. That's going to shut down the life support system. And I talked to my mentor, Ross Peterson, and he said, listen, don't be so vain. Caught me off guard. And I said, what do you mean? He said, Douglas, you told them what you saw. That's your job. You got paid for it, right? I said, yes. And I said, they walked out the door? Yes. I said, and he said, forget about it. As soon as they walk out the door, they're on their life and you're on yours. And then he explained the part. Don't be so vain. They're not going to do exactly what you say. They're going to make up their own mind. You're just giving them your 2 cents worth. And if they did it, it's because you helped them, you gave them something, and they worked with it. But they're not going to march out the door, walk down the hospital, and unplug the life support just because you said so. And I learned a lesson from that, not to think that I was so important or the image I was giving was more important exactly, not me, because I don't see myself as that important in the consultation. It's like them. It's all about them. It's all about the people. And I learned a lesson. Sure, people are going to get the information, answer your question directly. And this is the virtue image coming through, you know, from the invisible. Who, where, why did that come from? Was that the lady's soul giving that direction? Because all I saw was 2 pairs of hands pulling the plug apart. I don't know for sure. I don't need to know for sure. All I need to do is to say, here's the answer to the question. And they were quite happy. So again, I gave them what I saw, learning from that lesson when there was a man with no legs. I told them what I saw, and then I shouldn't feel responsibility beyond that moment, because then it's up to them what they're going to do. And I shouldn't feel any responsibility or any kind of anything else. I should just do my job. And that's what it is. And so when you ask me, when somebody comes into my office and they're bad, I don't see people come to my office that are bad. They're just people. Because that's a trap, you see. If you think somebody's bad, that means you don't want to talk to them. You know, you don't care about them. They deserve whatever they get, you know, punish them. I don't see that. I see somebody coming in and they say, help me. And I go, okay. And I've had people here who are bad. I mean, they've done some really bad stuff, but that's between them and God, not me. You know, this is just for anybody out there wondering. I made the decision, never turn anybody away. And you probably have heard this before, Carol, where people say, oh, I know you too well. I can't do a reading for you. You know, you're my sister or you're my cousin or I know you too well. I never thought that, and at the least I gave people whatever I saw. Have you ever heard that where people say, oh, other psychics have said, you know, I'm too hard to read?
Yep, I've heard people say that.
That's baloney as far as I'm concerned. But maybe they can't. Maybe the other people can't do it. I don't know. Anyway,
the person comes into your establishment. You have an hour reading or 45-minute reading, whatever they pay for. Okay, this person is one who needs to go to the other side because, you know, he's, in other words, he's a bad person. He is bad, and he only has 3 weeks to live. What in the holy heavens can you tell him? He only has 3 weeks to live because you see it. You feel it.
Well, let's take
you get all kinds of signs that he's going. So what in the holy heavens are you going to tell him? I'm not saying.
Let me take the word bad. Let me take the word bad out of there because I don't like that.
Okay.
When somebody comes, whether they're good or bad. Okay,
I'm
going to answer your question right. Yeah, well, that's not my business.
Holy heavens, can you tell him he only has 3 weeks to live?
Yes.
But you don't tell him in 45 minutes.
I do. I tell him in 30 seconds.
You tell him.
I don't need 45 minutes. When somebody asks me a question, I answer them. And there have been people who have come into my office and they ask me, how long do they have to live? And I tell them. And they say, you know, that's what I was thinking too. Thank you so much. And then because I was able to tell them other things, they said, I now have peace. I know my soul is going to live on. Thank you for that. They go home and they die. And the reason I find out they're dead is because their relative sends me a card or calls me up and says, you were right. You know, Uncle so-and-so passed away within the few days or the week or whenever, whatever I said. So try to take the word bad out, because you repetitively mentioned somebody's bad, and because
they're
bad. You're making reference to maybe somebody saying they've been bad and you're feeling guilty, and I shouldn't take that away. But the idea is that anybody comes, you know, I'm a Christian man, anybody comes and they ask for help, I give them the help. And if they've been really, really bad, well, that's their business. That's between them and God.
Yeah, but that's
I don't
what
judge
they are,
them.
Though.
It's, I'm not going to say that. I don't know who's bad, who's good, you know. I who am I? I'm nobody.
But when a person tells you they're bad, people know themselves far better than you do. They know what they are. And I was just trying to get a feeling of, you know, when they come in.
Yeah,
there, cause
I'm trying to. Yeah, I know what you're saying, and everybody's out there listening to you, and I'm trying to get you to get past the word good and bad, because everybody's good and everybody's bad. Everybody has done really, really good things, and everybody has things that they're ashamed of. I don't care who they are, what position in society they have. I don't care if they work in a church, a monastery, or whatever. They have done some bad stuff in their life. Everybody has. Right? So when somebody comes and says, you know, I'm really bad. I've been a sniper all my life, and I killed 67 men. You know, where am I going after I die? And I say to them, you were a sniper? Yes. That means you were working for the government, the army? Yes. And as a sniper, that was your military job? They say, yes. And I say, did you, when you killed people, did you enjoy it? And they said, no. Did you hate it? I said, no, it was my job. And I said, then you've done nothing wrong. You were doing your job. The other side of that is, were you enjoying killing the people? Oh, yeah, I loved it. Wow, now you got bad stuff. Or I hated them and I just wanted to kill them all. Wow, that's bad. Now you got some bad karma. But the person is doing their job. And no matter what it is, and they're just doing it without enjoying it or punishing people, and they're not. There's no harm. They're just doing their job. If that was not true, then everybody that builds tanks and airplanes and other devices, they would be somehow responsible for taking life. But if they're just doing their job the way it is, Jesus was asked in the Bible. Where somebody came to them and asked, we've done some bad stuff, and we're coming to arrest you, and we're going to hurt you, and whatever. And he said, it's not your fault. It's the people who ordered you to do this. It's their sin. And that's where that teaching comes from. Does that make sense, girl?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're getting into the conference here. This is how to access the divine, where we're going to talk about, as Paul was asking me before the show, you know, we were divine guidance and the communication with angels and the near-death experience and the tree of life and things like that we're going to talk about. But touching heaven, the spiritual journey, how to discover your ascension and self-realization to become fully realized. That's along the way of some of the things that you mentioned tonight. We got sort of over that way, but that's how virtue goes. Virtue takes us in that direction. I'm sure everybody's listening here to your really important questions, and I'm answering them quite frankly, as if I would be directly with somebody. And I know you're doing this because you're attempting to understand the different aspects of the other side. And so what I've just said to you, I've done these things myself. Pardon me, I've asked the same questions. And those are the answers I've come to. But number one, it's just kind of like, okay, who am I? I'm just giving you, I'm the microphone, you know. I'm just giving you the answers, and the people who are there, again, for the same reasons, either accept it or relieve. But I have been able to tell people that they don't have too much time left, and they were very happy about that. Because it gave them time to prepare, gave them time to be ready.
On that, You could give some more answers on those questions you were sent in the mail.
Well, there was a man a long time ago who came. This is true. Just jogs my memory. Paul should be making notes of all these wonderful things I'm talking about here. Or maybe we could just play the show during the weekend, Paul. Anyway, there was a man who came. He had a wonderful car. He loved his car. He was about 65 years old. That car looked like it was in brand new shape. He had had it for a long time. And what he wanted to know was if he was going to outlive his wife, because he didn't want his wife getting the car and then selling it. And I said, yes, you are going to outlive your wife, who is quite elderly and not well. Well, he slipped in the shower and he died before his wife. So he came back to me in a dream and he was mad at me because I was wrong. He came back to me, not in a dream, it's a visitation, and he was mad at me. And his wife, of course, sold the car. So there you go. Okay, we have a few minutes left in the show, everybody. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Stand by, Carol. We'll be right back after this short message.
Okay.
Come to the first Hope Conference with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell in Fort Worth, Texas, February 10th, 11th, and 12th at the Best Western Plus Conference Center. 3 days of spiritual enlightenment with personal interactions with Dr. Douglas and guest speakers in open forum lectures and workshops. Virtue healing, angels, near-death experiences, interpreting your dreams, the DNA of your soul are just several of the topics being presented. Special room rates are available for conference guests. Register now at www.douglasjamescottrell.com and see a full breakdown of the conference curriculum, plus plenty of opportunities to mingle with fellow seekers who have a goal of making the world a better place. The Hope Conference, February 10th, 11th, and 12th in Fort Worth. See douglasjamescottrell.com for details and registration.
You think about you and your family's health every minute, every day, not just when sick. We believe healthcare should bring results and rejuvenate the body. That's why Dr. Douglas James Cottrell compiled some of his best tips from his readings into a book, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Volume 1. From nutrition, anti-aging, and skincare to serious disorders and diseases like autism, PTSD, and cancer. Find out more at douglasjamescottrellstore.com or buy a copy on Amazon today.
Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up Podcast, exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to douglasjamescottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice. You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And we're back, everyone. We're talking about virtue and that creative force that goes through everything. As we were talking about the communication in the breaks, before the break rather, about how we communicate with people on the higher levels or other side, and some of the reasons and explanations of how that virtue works and how we're able to see things and know the future pretty accurately. And Carol was asking some pretty good questions as we talked, and we're going to go talk to Pat in Connecticut next, Carol. But then as a follow-up, does that make sense to you, what we're talking about before the break?
Yes, it does. It does.
You're in deep thought, I see.
Those questions if it was sent in the mail.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, this last week is just one of the worst, I'm not going to say good or bad, but one of the most difficult times that I've had for up until yesterday afternoon. So now I'm back to normal. But I was looking at your envelope today thinking, Carol's going to ask me tonight about that envelope. And here we are. I will get it done for sure before I go to Texas, and I'll try to take care of it right away. Interesting questions tonight, Carol, as usual. And I'm sure everybody out there in Radio Land was helped a little bit by those questions. Certainly provoked memories and experiences I've had in my past. I think we might even, Paul, take a little segment of this radio show and play it at the Hope Conference. What do you think? Can we take about 10 minutes and make
sure.
Carol famous?
Absolutely. Great idea, Douglas.
Well, yeah. Carol provoked some memories that... long, deep, they're in the DNA of the soul. Everything that you say or do or experience is recorded in your own, what they call junk DNA, Carol.
Yep.
Okay, so stand by. We're nice to talk to you tonight, Carol. God bless you. I hope that lady reaching down with the out of the window with the little whitish kind of bags under her eyes is watching over you. I guess that's where you developed your intuitive abilities and this interest from her, perhaps, as a teacher. Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks, Carol. Thanks for being on the show again. And we'll catch up to you next time.
Adios.
Adios. Okay. We're heading over to Connecticut next. We're going way over to the East Coast, looks like.
Hi.
Hello, Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
How are you finding the show so far tonight?
It's great. What's the weather where you are? What's the temperature?
About a foot of snow, minus 17 degrees Celsius. That's
Whoa.
About 10 or 15 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kind of. We don't have the
That's
snow.
That's outside. Okay.
It's very cold here, too. And very windy. Okay, I have a question. I have in my my battery's dying. You still there?
Well, okay, quick. Yep, keep going.
Hang on, I'm going to plug it in quick.
Okay, call back if it shuts off.
Okay, I'm here. Give me a minute. Okay, I have
No worries.
Thank you. I have a small vial of oil with some mustard seeds put in it. I met a woman a couple of weeks ago, took her around town to help her find a job, learned her incredible life story. She's from Puerto Rico. There was kidnapping and all kinds of amazing, horrendous stuff in her life. And she gave me this vial of oil. She said her mother had a Bible that the oil started coming out of. And it just continues to come from this Bible. She brought it from Puerto Rico in a plastic bag. She gave me a vial. I opened it up. It kind of smells like rancid oil. I know you know of her booty, and I was intrigued with
Amorous.
This. She told me to what?
The oil
Amorous?
Is called amaranth. Yep.
In my hand.
And it drips out of, her booty that forms on pitchers in Hindu temples, and then there's a little tray that goes under pitchers, and it's like little drops of oil, and it's called amaranth. I might be mispronouncing it, but that's the same. Mm-hmm.
I'll Google that. Anyway, after a whole day of listening to this bizarre life, I kind of got a little bit spooked, and I think there's issues going on in the family. I'm just wondering, this particular vial that I have, do you think it's, she told me to recite Psalm 91 when I use it. Can you tell if this is legitimate or the energy's good or bad?
Because you're already suspicious, I would say no. But, let's see. You said Let me see here. Just happened to have my trusty Bible with me. And,
okay.
Let me see here. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall recover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust, and His truth shall be thy shield and buckle. Okay, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So, yes, I would say repeating that is okay. Having a witness or something like that, that's okay. But, you know, if you're a Christian, you could put a cross there. If you are something else, another, like a Star of David or something, or what do you call it, yin-yang, I forget what that's called, different things like that, so. That's a witness. It doesn't have power, but the virtue energy goes through it. If it's been prayed over, this is what blessing your dinner or your bread or whatever's all about. You bless something. You're putting virtue into this. Okay, so that's all good stuff.
So this particular vial.
Want to ask me a more specific? Yeah, go ahead.
Can you pick up on this particular thing, or could I, if I made my own little vial with mustard seeds, would that be just as powerful?
Of course. It's what you pray, okay? Let me see.
Okay.
It's what you pray. That's when you pray over your meal, you're actually putting the vibration of the prayer into the substance, okay? Oil and holy water have been used since a long, long time. Anointing oil and oils for blessing and baptismal and stuff like that. So what is it? It's the prayer being transmuted by virtue into the substance. And then the substance is being either ingested or rubbed on the skin. And so it's holding the prayer. Now, if you go to the International School of the Prophets, you'll find .com, you'll find that that's our organization. I'm associated with it. We have holy water. This is water that's been prayed over, and it does the same thing. So can you do that to the mustard seed in the oil yourself? Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's all the purpose is to contain the prayer and then to put the prayer into the body in a concentrated form.
Okay.
Good question.
This family ended up. I was surprised by something that happened after I had made friends with them, and that kind of just the whole thing kind of. Made me question this. And in actuality, I've had about 3 weeks of people reacting to things that have been kind of confusing and disturbing. But anyway,
it's been a heck of a 3 weeks. Let me tell you, across the board, it's been really, really bad, really scary, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I can tell you now while I'm spooked. She these kids, when she was a young child, she got kidnapped in Puerto Rico, and her family, her siblings were separated and so on. And she said at the beginning of all this, someone came to their farm. Her parents, her father was a butcher, and they were very wealthy, and I think some people were jealous of them. Someone came and bought 5 pigeons, and the wife was telling the husband, no, don't do this. She's putting a curse on us. And evidently, the curse ended up being all the children being kidnapped more than once, and very sad and so on. And so that kind of all spooked me, that energy. And I think that's why.
Let me tell you this. Yeah, okay. Everybody comes to this sometime in your spiritual development. You come to this kind of understanding or awareness or you know, things that happen. And we know there are spiritual beings that are not nice, and they're on the other side. And you know, the Christian Bible has the Nicodemus and the demons and things like that. They're recorded in the Old Testament and New Testament. The jinn and poltergeists and all those other names. So there are those mischievous entities out there. It's like in certain cities, there are neighborhoods where all the motorcycle guys and the rough guys live, you know, the certain parts of the cities. So when you live in that city, you know about that place, but you don't go anywhere near it. You stay away from it. It continues to coexist in its
right
area with the other city around it. So this is the example I use for understanding the spiritual world. There is a place where there's darkness and nasty, mean,
yep,
unloving beings. In the interpretation of evil is the absence of love. That's the best way I can explain it. The evil is the absence of love. So you don't go to those dark areas. But when those that darkness creeps out of their area, it's like walking into a room that's full of darkness, you know, a night, the darkest, blackest night. You walk into a room, the first thing you do is you reach over and you turn on the light switch.
Right.
And that one little light bulb in the ceiling chases all the darkness out of the room. From the top to the bottom, from the left to the right, the darkness is gone. And that is a symbolic understanding of how powerful one light can be, one person can be. It chases away all the darkness. You see, darkness is afraid of light. Darkness does not like to be exposed. Darkness works in the shadows. It works in fear. It works in uncertainty. It causes doubt to appear in the uninitiated or the people who have never come across that before, sort of like what you have. And when people put curses on people, that's not really anything powerful. It's a negative prayer. You know, when you say to somebody, I hope you fall down and break your neck, that's a curse.
Yeah.
Negative prayer. But you don't really mean it. But if you say it enough, over and over and over and over again, that fanciful, you know, little whiff of a thought or prayer becomes more intense. It solidifies, it congeals, and then it becomes somewhat dangerous because it can really harm.
Right.
But it has to be repetitive. It has to be repetitively and concentrated, and all those things that people who specialize in that nonsense partake in. So somewhere along the line, you go like, really, curses, gone. That's turning the light bulb on and they go away. So again,
yeah,
holy water is a good thing to bless your house. You put your hand, the water in your hands, and you bless it. And you say, repeat whatever's Psalm 91, and you repeat it. Fantastic that you're putting those thoughts into the water. And now the water has contained that vibration. It's multiplied. The DNA of the water is now more powerful because of the thoughts and the virtue they've put into it. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think my further relationship with this whole family was they suddenly disappeared, in the sense of with plans made with them, they suddenly were not available, and then gave me an excuse that was a lie, and I kind of feel like, for whatever reason, that's their problem. But I feel that there may be drugs or abuse or something. So this oil that's connected to them makes me think, should I just get rid of it? Because of that,
yes,
there
you
is.
Should. Yes, you should.
Thank you.
Yes, you should.
Thank
just throw it away.
So
just take it.
Thank you.
Dispose it. Take it outside your house and throw it away.
Okay.
Yeah. Because see, it already has some negative, it already has some negative connotations, and that's multiplying in your mind every time you look at it.
Yeah,
okay, you're thinking bad stuff.
Yeah, I put it away, and tonight's the first time I brought it out, just to, you know, have it in my hand while I spoke to you. So I'm glad I asked you that.
Flush it down the toilet.
Okay.
Flush it down the toilet.
One more quick question.
No,
sure, go ahead.
Yeah, we got time.
No, you go ahead.
I was
going to
say, yeah, okay, when you have thoughts in your head and you repeat them, then they become powerful.
Yeah.
Okay? When you change thoughts, because we're supposed to think in a chaotic way, you know, the way we think is all over the place all the time. That's how we normally think. But when we're afraid of something, we focus and we concentrate. That mind goes out of chaos, or it loses its equilibrium of being all over the place, as minds are supposed to be, and it becomes single-minded and focused. Now, when you're trying to concentrate and get a job done, that's powerful. That's the creative force. But when you're afraid, that's counterproductive. So you take it, flush it down the toilet, and that's it. It's gone. It's out of your house. And then I would replace that with some fragrance in your house, a nice smelling scent.
I'm so glad I asked you, because I felt, in a way, almost silly to ask you. The other quick question is, in the past number of weeks, I am encountering people that I work with, or friends, or people hold in, you know, they're important in my life. And not even let me finish a sentence. And I keep trying, and I keep getting interrupted. And what is coming out is judgment and opinions. And that's all fine. But I feel like, first of all, finish a sentence. Yeah, okay, but let me finish a sentence. So you'll know my story that you can then, you know, put down and throw stones at. What is happening? I'm afraid that
I was doing that on purpose.
Go ahead. No,
I was doing that on purpose when you were saying people are interrupting you, and I purposely did.
I'm afraid that the universe is saying you need. I'm afraid that the universe is saying you need new friends. I lost 3 friends in 1 week. I only have 1 friend left. I'm not sure what's going on. I would like to know the higher meaning of what's happening.
Yeah. You didn't lose any friends, Pat. You've outgrown your friends.
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of.
Don't be afraid. That's the way it is. Your friends were holding you back.
Yeah.
When you're on a spiritual path, you will lose friends. But they weren't really your friends anyway.
You
thought they were your friends.
I know.
And they were doing something. If you look on what Buddha had to say about friends, there's 4 different types of friends, so-called friends. They're friendly enemies. And I would know them, but I haven't got time to talk about it. But the idea is that there are people who you think are your friends, but they're taking advantage of you, and you don't, you know, somebody's always criticizing you and say, oh, they didn't mean it. That's okay. Or somebody's always, you know, oh, can you buy lunch? You know, like I forgot my wallet or purse. They're taking advantage of you. They're not your friends, but you think they are. So those are a couple of the so-called friends that we think we have. But on a spiritual path, you will outgrow the people who you thought were your friends. And if people are interrupting you, this is what I do. No matter what, I just shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they talk away, and I go, and then I don't talk about what I was talking. I move on.
Okay.
And that's when I'm in public, when I'm people talking. I was at a hotel one day, and I was talking to the counter person, and I had a friend with me, and the person interrupted me and started talking to my friend, and I just, I'm the one paying for the room. My friend was there to pick me up, but they wanted to engage my friend about some nonsense. And I was the guest, and I should have been at least, the courtesy should have been extended to me, but it didn't. And so the next day, same thing, my friend comes to pick me up, and the same scenario happened again where we're talking, and they, and then talked to my friend. And so in the car later on, he said, I've been observing that, you know, when people cut you off, you just don't talk. You don't answer them. I said, that's right. Because if they don't think what I have to say is important, then...
Yeah.
why should I bother to give them the courtesy of my attention? So it's just not a, it's not above or below thing. It's a matter of saying, okay, you don't want to hear what I have to say? Fine. You're not important. I don't have to people please, which is what you're trying to do. And that's what the universe is trying to, is showing you. You can't people please.
Yeah.
And if people constantly are criticizing you or whatever, they are not your friend. So you,
you know,
say,
it,
thank
it,
you very much. I have to get going now. I got to go. Bye.
It's
go ahead.
The kind of, it's the kind of, you know, this person would probably say it's out of care. I can, one example is she asked me how my knee was doing, and I said, blah, 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 blah. The doctor says I need surgery, but my physical therapist has the same problem, and he was wrestling with his kids and his dog this week. And I said, how? He said, I exercise. I build up all the muscle around it. And she was like, blah, 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 blah. You better, what happens if you fall? The doctors are 3 months. And I said, no, my doctor is not 3 months out. I checked with him. He can do it in a day, but blah, blah, blah. Well, and then eventually it's, well, it's your life. You do with what you want. And I'm thinking, is that really just a patronizing comment? So
no,
it,
that's somebody trying to control you. And
yeah,
you're defending them. You do not have to defend your opinion. It's none of
yeah
their business. Have you ever heard that one? None of your beeswax, we used to say when I was younger. And so when you have
yeah
a busybody like that, you can bet your bottom dollar that when she left you, she went down the street and had a big conversation about how silly you were, that you were going to do something exercising with a puppy and hurt your leg. So in those circumstances, as soon as somebody starts criticizing you, you can say, well, you know, Mabel, thank you very much. I really appreciate your caring for me. But, you
yeah
know, it's such a bother. Let's have a cup of tea. Okay?
Yeah.
That's how you handle these intruding people who are pretending to be your friends. There's not care. They're arguing. They're telling you're wrong. Their opinion is right. Yours is wrong. You don't want to talk to these people. But if you people please, then you think you should. But part of your spiritual growth and part of allowing that virtue to go through you is bringing these people to you who you thank later and say,
yeah,
my God, I thank you for that lesson. I don't particularly
right
want to go through that again. They're not my friend, but what a valuable lesson they showed me. I'm going to take control over myself, and I'm not going to let somebody tell me off about me taking care for myself that I've spoken to some doctor who gave me a really good idea. Makes
right
sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, this is helpful. And it's,
I hope so, because that's a very valuable lesson that a lot of us, including myself, you have to come through by assessing who are your real friends. If this person was your real friend, they would have said something like, you really, you know, the doctor really said that? I've never heard that before. Well, let me know how it works out. You know, is there anything I can do? You know, like maybe I'll try that myself. I know,
yeah,
there are people I know.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, your turn.
I've been looking at myself and thinking, wow, you know, if someone gives me information that's new to me or I don't understand or I don't think is right, I'll sit back and listen, and then I may go Google it or go research it, or I don't put people down immediately. I'm open to thinking, and I've just been so surprised as I think back that, and I'm wondering, is this fear on her part? Everything that I'm bringing up, homeopathy, she doesn't understand it and she's criticizing it. And I'm saying, just forget it. Google it. You know, what you're saying is incorrect. Okay, then just go ask your daughter. She's interested in homeopathy. It's just, in hindsight, everything
well,
has...
Pat.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a thing in the Bible, it's called throwing pearls in front of swine. You ever heard
yeah
that?
Yes.
This is what you're doing. You're throwing pearls
yeah
in front of swine. In other words, you're throwing wisdom in front of somebody who doesn't appreciate it, and you're wasting it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to put the person's a swine or anything. That's nothing. The idea is that scenario is that you're throwing valuable things to some, you know, pigs eat everything. That's where that comes from. So
yeah,
whether it's valuable or not, it's a waste. So what's the lesson for you? What's the lesson for you, do you think?
Oh, I'm learning a lot, you know, because she values her opinions. I assume, you know, that she treats her opinions well and values her opinions. I just got confused, you know, and thought at some point we
Well, that wasn't the question. The question I asked, what's the lesson here? And the lesson is simply that, you know, she doesn't understand, and so she's going to debate it with you, and you don't need to debate it with her, and you shouldn't, because you're telling a woman something that she doesn't want to hear. That's your mistake.
Exactly.
So
I'm finding
everything.
Yeah, I'm finding who I am and things I talk about she doesn't want to hear.
You don't, if you want to stay friends with this woman, she's showing you the parameters.
Exactly.
You have to obey. You cannot talk to her about these things. And when she starts talking about something, no matter what it is, more than likely she's feeling a little needy. She's feeling a little inferior. She's feeling like she needs some attention. She's feeling like she wants some love. And she's trying to lift herself up and show that she has something, you know, some dignity or whatever. And she's doing it all wrong, because she hasn't learned to say, you know what, I don't know about that. Tell me more.
Right.
Thank you. You're my friend. So if you want to stay friends with this lady, and I suspect you do, you just kind of go like, okay, that's the rules. And if you obey the rules, like this person doesn't like to talk about homeopathy. This person doesn't like to talk about herbology. This person doesn't like to talk about life after death. Okay, you don't talk about those things. You talk about what you do like and can mutually talk about, and you avoid the rest.
Right.
That's your lesson.
That's what I was trying to do for quite some time, and I've seen in the past 2 weeks it's no longer working. Yeah. And I didn't really
want. Well, then
you
move on.
Exactly. Yeah. I've just been struggling.
And when they call you up, sorry, there's a little delay in my microphone. That's why I'm stepping on you. It's called when you talk. I talk, but Paul is trying to work it out in the production, but. The way it works here is if you get to that point where this isn't working, you move on. You go, okay, and if the person calls you up in a couple of weeks and they say, how are you? You say, I'm fine, good to hear from you. You know, what's new? Okay, well, got to go. And they'll go down the street and they'll find somebody else to complain with, okay?
Right. Yeah.
You're under no obligation to be their complaining sounding board, whatever. Okay?
Right. I get it. I needed to hear all this. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course you do. You're smart.
Yep.
You just need me to – I didn't tell you a thing that you didn't know already tonight. I know that.
Well, I know. And I knew that I was struggling, you know, is there information that I really don't want to hear? So that's why I called you, because I knew you'd tell me.
There you go. Well, of course. My pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you for being part of the show tonight and contributing. We got a few minutes left in the show. We're going to end. We got some more callers here, but okay. Listen, maybe we'll see you in Texas, Pat. You know, never know.
Oh, like you won't, but I'll be there in spirit. Absolutely, I'm very interested, and I'm praying for you too. I've been praying for your protection and good travels, and it'll all be wonderful for you.
It's working out.
Thank you.
It's working out. Things are just happening. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks so much. Good night.
Thanks for calling in tonight. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, Paul, where are we heading? Good night. Where are we going next? We have a few more people in the queue here today. Looks like we're going to New York. We have Cape Cod. We have somebody in the 770 area. We're a few more callers to go tonight. Where are we going next?
We are going to Cod, Massachusetts. We've got Tara on the line.
Okay, and we just talked to Pat in Chicago, or Connecticut, right? I'm turning Pat off there. Okay, Tara, how are you?
Hello, guys. How are you? Hi, Doug.
Yeah, we're okay. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to also, as to what the other lady before was saying, I don't really have much of a question for you tonight, but I did want to wish you so much luck in your Hope Conference next weekend. I very much wanted to attend.
Thank you.
And I'm so looking forward to You've been a mentor of mine and a very, very important person in helping in a lot of areas of my life. And today I'm a very, very different person than I even was last year.
I'm glad to hear
And
that.
Things are just rocking and rolling, wow. And they're so beautiful. Even while the world
Excellent.
Is scary, it's not in my mind right now. And it's everything is positive and everything is happy and everything is even the negatives I am looking at differently. And maybe someday we can talk. But tonight I want to tell you that I'm really got a lot of creativity flowing through me again, and a lot's coming, and I have a lot of plans and ideas. One of my most important plans is to attend your place in Texas. And I do have a question, if you don't mind me asking you. I could have written to you, but I'd rather jump it and just ask you. are you going to be having, I so, more than you even know, because what you do is not only so profoundly important, but just to me personally in my life, I can speak 1,000,000% that I don't want to get silly and get choked up because that's not me. But the application of your work, it's miracle. Like, I'm talking years and years I've been studying under you, and just to be able to see you in person and take your class, incredible. Do you see me down there at some point with you in your mind? And I'm sorry I'm being silly.
Yep, but
I can't help it. I can't channel my energy right. High emotion just really cranks me, so I apologize. But do you see
okay.
me going in all the
this
places
gonna,
I want to go?
Yeah, this is the first one of several of these Hope conferences we'll be having. And so you'll be able to somewhere, somehow, when the universe opens up, you'll be there. When you have such a focus, as we're talking about, you can have a passion. And this is more like a passion, meaning that you want to do something. The universe will open up and there'll be a way. And all of a sudden you'll be like, wow, I'm here. What happened?
It did. It did with
so,
this
with,
one, and I
yes,
was
I can see
nanoseconds. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, no, it's okay. I'm agreeing with you. You can be there. Do I
yeah.
see you there? Yes.
I was
very
sure
close
when, to getting there.
See you there.
Next time, I'll be there. I know I will be.
Well, I hope so.
But I want
to
do that'll a
be
lot
up
of other travel.
I
think the universe wants me to meet and study with all of my mentors, you being one of them. There's a few more travels in place. And now that I'm myself again, I think I see that in my
That's
future.
Good.
And I was extending a thank you, and I do look forward to meeting you, and I want to send you blessings. And I think good things are coming, and I think for everybody. And I want to thank you for doing your part so very much. That's pretty much all I have.
You're welcome.
And,
you're welcome.
Blessings to all of you out there. And that's it. Good night.
Well, that's great. Okay, well, I'm very glad that you're doing well, and we'll look forward to your next call. And I do see you somewhere. I'm not sure if it's Phoenix or L.A. or wherever, maybe back in Texas. But we'll look forward to seeing you there. And it's been a long time you've been calling into the show. So, we wish you well. Okay, Paul, where are we heading next?
We are, Douglas, we're going up to New York, and we've got Carmen on the line.
Yes.
Hello, Carmen.
Carmen. Can you hear me?
Hi, Carmen.
Hello?
You're in and out a little bit. We can hear you now. Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, yeah, so thanks, guys, for returning back on the show.
You're welcome.
It's nice to have you guys back. I was calling quite frequently when you were on. So I just wanted to find out if you have any information about a relationship or friendships, new friendships coming in. Or anything around, any messages from my spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see Valentine's Day as somewhat important. Just after Valentine's Day, I see you holding your hands against your chest, and it's like you're praying. So something's going to happen around Valentine's, more than likely just after the day. I'm not sure. But I see you holding your hands in your chest, and it's like, thank you, thank you, thank you. So there's a relationship coming. And I can think that the heavens are going to open up, and I see sort of like coins coming down from above. And so the message from above is that for fortuitous times or prosperous times, pennies from heaven, as they say, you know, manna from heaven. That looks like a pretty fortuitous time for you coming up, but in the next little while, not too, you know, just in the next weeks or so, it's looks like a fortuitous time. Do you have anybody, sort of nearby that you might be thinking of a relationship with?
No, not really. I did, when I went out to get something from the store earlier, I saw someone, but I couldn't see their face, and we did say hello. He might be living in the building, but I don't know if I'll ever see him again or anything, but that stood out a little bit. That was kind of an unusual kind of a thing for me.
Do more of it. That's when you say hello to somebody and they say hello back and you feel that little connection happening, that's when you say something like, have I seen you before? I live alone upstairs. Hint, hint, hint. You don't have to be that pointed.
Whatever. It'll happen when it happens. And I want to go back to visit my family, but then I want to go back, and then I'm like, oh, I don't really want to go back. Like, just to visit them, but I don't know what's going on with me. Like, one minute I wanted to go, and now I'm like, it's a drag to travel. And I was just wondering what you see around that.
Well, my first thought is family is the most valuable thing you can have, and you're feeling or sensing intuitively that they're missing you and that you want to go back. And then, of course, there's that whenever somebody wants to do something and the mischievous forces pop up and they say, oh no, it's a drag, it's this, it's that. And so this happens to me all the time when I travel. And I know in my life when I was going to do something and then I just felt so, you know, like I don't want to go and whatever. When I went, something wonderful happened to me that I didn't expect happened to me. Had I not gone, nothing, that wonderful thing wouldn't have happened. So that this is just a normal feeling, but I can see you back with your family. They're going to be crying. They're happy to see you. I can see tears in people's eyes, like just, you know, where you've been. So I would encourage you to make the effort. Is it very far to see your family? Is it like a great distance you have to go?
A great distance, like 10, 12 hours, maybe 13 hours, 12, yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then back. You
know, yeah, okay.
People.
That's what I was thinking. So, but anyway, you say to yourself, okay, that's a duty. They're my family. They're the most valuable people in my life. And
yeah,
I'm not
going
to take them for granted anymore. I'm going to go over and see them.
Yeah, I'm going to get the ticket and go. I'll figure out how long I need to stay and figure it out. Okay,
well,
thanks
10 days
for the,
is a good time.
Yeah, I agree, because it's such a long distance. I don't want to just 5 days and then it's over, you know. That's not such a good idea either, so.
Yeah, no, 10
yeah,
days is
you.
About right, and 10 or 12 days is plenty.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. When did you start coming back on the show?
I've always been on the show.
I haven't seen you on Friday nights anymore.
Well, thank you for telling me that because we've had some glitches here on the Blog Talk Radio show. So
I
appreciate that.
For 6 months here, yeah. I didn't know you were here. I haven't seen you for over 6 months.
Well, if we
same time,
we, get Carmen's
next
email,
week.
Douglas, maybe we can get Carmen's email and send her the weekly notice about the show.
Yep.
Yeah,
Carmen,
because,
go to my website, Douglas. Do you get the emails now, Carmen?
Yeah, we can text. I can text my email if you text me. I can send you my email.
Well, if you just stay on the line after
No, no, Paul,
I'm sorry.
Paul, just yep. Paul. Go to my website, and there's a place to type in your email there. It's a permission-based mailing list. So you put your email in there. That means you're giving us permission. Otherwise, if we put it in for you, then they're going to ask you, and they're going to confirm us, and it's going to be a mess. So the simple way is to go to douglasjamescottrell.com and put your name in the email there, and you should get it. Now, everybody out there, we've just – so go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say we've just found out that when we send out to our mailing list, that depending what kind of mail email you have, if you have Google – Gmail, I mean to say, if you have Gmail – it will put our notices in a folder that will be called events or promotion or notices. And you will not get our notice in your inbox. It'll go to one of these other. Okay, so everybody out there, I just found this out recently, and we're going to try to change our way of sending things if we can do it that and to get around it. And I've just gone through my Gmail, and I found I had 7,000 notices in one of these stupid boxes, and I had 3,000 in another one, notices of notices or something like that. So I don't know if it's a glitch or whatever, a fault of Gmail, but I don't like it. But if we're on every Friday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, every Friday. So you don't need really...
I checked Blog Talk Radio, and it wasn't posted there anymore. So I wasn't calling anymore because I thought you guys had disappeared.
Well,
seriously,
you know what? We changed. Listen, Carmen, thank you. We just changed from we upgraded, and now you've just given me the reason why we're not getting the calls and the service because they haven't. They've taken my money, but they're not including the service. Thank you for that. Paul, we'll make a note of that. We'll complain to Blog Talk tomorrow. Thank you. I did not know that. Thank you, Carmen.
Yeah. Oh, that either that you guys were here. That's good to know that you guys were here. I'm so happy. I'm so happy you guys are back.
Well, always been here, but darn gosh, gee golly, and explore, you know, blah, blah. I'm paying double the money, and I'm getting no service.
And you were
I shouldn't complain on air, but that's what it is. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for letting us know that.
Yeah, for months I haven't seen you. Months and months and months. Every Friday night I used to listen, and there was no more you. So this is the first time I'm hearing you again.
Well, we thank you for that, and you're very, very helpful. We had a few more calls to go, and we're going to get close to the end of the show. Thank you, Carmen.
Sure.
And let me list a second before. How long has it been that you said that you haven't heard us?
This is the first time since we were talking about all that COVID stuff and all the conspiracy stuff. Like, that was a year ago almost. So between now and a year, some time in between, it's been like this.
Wow.
I haven't seen you.
That is a shame.
Yeah.
Have
you been phone calls and stuff the same as usual in the meantime, I'm sure?
We've been wondering what's gone wrong.
It matches with this.
Okay, well, if you've helped us big time, we're gonna head on off to a couple more callers, and we're running out of time here. So, thank you, Carmen, and We're here next Friday, I hope.
Okay. But I have your number now, so I can call the same number next week.
That's right.
That'll
okay.
be good.
I'll be in Texas, but Doug will be here, and we'll see what's happening. Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, too. All right. I'll be listening, so don't hang up on me.
No. you'll be fine. You're gonna keep on sticking on to the show here. That's great. Okay.
Thank you.
Paul, we'll go to going next, and thank to Carmen in New York for that wonderful bit of information. My God.
Wow.
Where are we going next?
That's Paul? That pretty interesting call there. We're going to Georgia, and Maddie is on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Maddie. Hello. How you doing?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello.
You're on
hello.
The air.
Hi. Yeah. I don't have a question. I just thought maybe if you were able to pick up from the other side, if maybe there's a message I need to know or whatever. So.
I don't usually do that.
You don't usually do that?
I don't usually get messages, but, if you ask a question about something, my mind goes that way. What would you like to know?
Okay. Did I have a specific question to ask? Let me see. What about a significant other, someone that... you can grow someone that vibrate on the same frequency that I'm vibrating on, that I can kind of grow with, and a companion.
Okay. Well, what the standard prayer I have is, God Almighty, or to whoever you pray, God Almighty, from your infinite supply of men, please send me one. Who will be, and then you fill in the blanks, a good friend, treat me right, be courteous, want to do the things I want to do, et cetera, four or five different things. And then you say, okay. And please send them to me the sooner the better, and help me realize it's him when he shows up. Amen. So God Almighty, from your infinite supply of men, please send me one who's going to be my friend, who will be courteous to me, who like to travel with me or whatever that you wanted in a significant other. And then you say, and please send them to me the sooner the better, and help me realize when the opportunity is at hand or when he shows up or whatever you like to close up with. Amen. And then you look pretty. You look attractive. In your mind, you are looking. You're not kind of hoping someday. You're saying, it could be today. Where is he? And then when you see somebody who might be a possibility, you become attractive, you flirt a little, and you ask some questions like, have you got the time, or, you know, things like that. You flirt a little. And then there'll be a connection. But you just say it every morning, dear God Almighty, from your infinite supply of men, please send me one. And think about it. Infinite supply of men. There's men out there. There's probably 10 people looking for you right now. That matches you spiritually, intellectually, physically, all those things. But you have to ask. That's what meant by the prayer, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. That means you're seeking, you're praying, please send me one. That's number one, you have to ask. And the other two conditions are, well, then you got to seek and find. Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it works. That prayer works. Many, many people have had that happen. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to go back and listen to the archives and write that down. Yes. But flirting is something
okay.
I don't do. I'm a little shy of flirting.
Well, here's what it goes. Here's the way it goes, Maddie. If you don't ask, you don't get. And men are really shy. Yeah, men are really shy these days, and they're overly concerned that men are overly concerned that they're going to do something wrong and get yelled at. So when you flirt, that means something like, You know, yeah,
I like
your jacket.
Yeah.
Well, you can go. I really like your jacket, and then you touch it. And if you touch a man's arm lightly, then that means I like you. If you put your hand on his arm and leave it there for a moment, that means I really like you. And then you can say, you know, you've got nice eyes, or you've got a nice smile. That's what I mean by flirting. You don't have to be like, you know, wow, you got a nice build or anything like that. But you have to give these subtle hints and say, and then you might even say to the man, you know, I'm a real touchy-feely person. I like people to give me hugs and things like that. That tells the man that you're not going to be offended if he expresses some affection towards you. There are rules out there now, or there are circumstances where men are, you know, they like the woman, but they don't want to look at their cleavage. They don't want to touch them. They want to hold them because they think they're going to get their head served up on a platter. So all the things that were traditional, I'm an older man, the rules are out the window now until the woman makes the first move. So if you want something, you got to make the first move. When you're asking, and you're asking for somebody to come, that's the prayer. And seeking means you're looking for somebody to be your mate or your spouse or your significant other. And you're knocking on the door. That means touching the person on the arm. That means saying the first few words. And it's real easy, because the older you are, the easier it gets.
Yes.
And the
yes.
more people want to have somebody in their life. I'm talking about a relationship. I'm not talking about an encounter. The older you get, the more people want to have a friend that's with them all the time, because you get older,
yes.
you get lonely.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Okay, so that's easy. I can see someone coming up for you, so you'll be okay.
Well, I was in the store today, and the young man that helped me, eyes kind of locked, stared
mm-hmm.
one another, and he looked. And when he went to the cashier, I kind of smiled or something, and he said to me, "Oh, you have a nice, pretty smile." So that was a flirt.
Okay.
That was flirtation. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, and it would be a friendly flirtation. It would be like I'm interested, or you're attractive. And that's when they say you got a really nice smile, you can say, yeah, well, maybe we ought to have coffee and talk about that. Okay?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you don't ask, you don't get. Remember, so once you send out the prayer.
Say that. The squeaky wheel get the grease. Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
I wish
thanks,
you well, Mandy. Okay?
Douglas. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Can I listen?
Okay. Yeah, you're going to listen in now? Okay. We've got time for one or two more calls, I think. The number to call is 718-766-4421. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this.
Who's God?
What's my purpose?
What do my dreams mean?
What are miracles?
What are spiritual abilities?
Was I in a past life?
Who is my soulmate?
What is meditation?
Are your thoughts racing around on what life is or how to live it? Slow down. Find answers in Dr. Douglas James Cottrell's book, Secrets of Life, now available at douglasjamescottrellstore.com or Amazon.
Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom. If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at douglasjamescottrell.com. Gems of Wisdom. Every so often, an individual appears who can demonstrate the ability to access the dimension known as the Akashic Field. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is one such individual. The field is like a celestial library of all our thoughts and actions. Since the dawn of time, science is demonstrating that through this energetic field, our minds are connected to one another, despite our perception that we're all separate. This is why the great religions of the world teach respect, compassion, and tolerance. They depict the field as the book of life, the source of inventions, inspiration, and insight. In the book, Conversations with the Akashic Field, Dr. Cottrell offers you practical advice from the Akashic Field so you may live a life of peace and prosperity. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop. There you'll find books, meditation, and other spiritual advancement materials.
We understand people may have strong opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness.
You're listening to the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. And now back to the show.
Well, welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Global Village radio show, and apparently some of you are, and some of you aren't because of the circumstances with our provider here. We have a little bit of time left in the show tonight. Where are we going next, Paul?
Whoops. Well, right now, Douglas.
Here's Paul.
We are.
There we go.
Yep. Don't have any callers
everybody.
Right
looks
now.
Looks like we got everybody. Looks like
we got
everybody. Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, when, you know, that spiritual journey, as we've been all over the board tonight, that spiritual journey takes place. It's kind of like, you know, you get a roadmap and you want to go from wherever you are to Tampa, you know, Florida. And there are many, many roads that go from wherever you are in the country to Tampa. And you will end up in Tampa, Florida, just by following whatever road that you choose. And that life path, those highways and byways that you choose, are basically your path in life. Sometimes you make a turn and you end up going far away off to the right and you have to find your way back. Sometimes your street is an arrow and you're going down I-75 and you're on your way to Florida. And then sometimes you make a left turn or a right turn, and you end up getting, let's say, sidetracked. Then life is like that. But as long as you continue to follow the path to get on the correct path, to get on that straight and narrow, the one that takes you to your destination, the quickest, most direct way, enjoy the side trips, enjoy the delays, and try to get back to the straight and narrow and, you know, the shortest trip, but go slow. No need to rush. We're going to get there. We're all going to get to, you know, Shangri-La someday, and we're all going to be happy and retired someday, but don't use up your days too fast. Let them come by. Make the use of them every day, the good ones and the difficult ones as well, because they're all important to the makeup of just who and what you are. So as we've talked about tonight, we talked about virtue. Virtue is that invisible, intelligent, supernatural force. It's God in action, if you will. And it comes in many, many different versions, shapes, configurations, orientations and applications. But the one thing that always, always, always it provides is a life. It provides all the things we need in life. Sooner or later, this life's going to come to an abrupt end. Hopefully, we'll be prepared and we'll be able to look back and say, it was a life that was human. It was a life where I survived. I made mistakes. I overcame them. I found how to make myself a better person. I found people that I thought were my friends and found out they were taking advantage of me. My eyes were closed. God opened my eyes. I'm in the wake up. I understand. God bless them for being in my way because they've taught me those harsh lessons. God bless me for those people who have come into my life who've given me opportunities. Some I took advantage of and some I wasted. But I'm human and I will forgive myself. I'll pat myself on the back and I'll be happy about myself because, my friends, you are on an individual journey. No one has responsibility to make you happy except you. No one has or will do things for you that you should do yourself. You're entitled to your life. You live your life, not at the direction or obligation or of anyone else. You know, you're not here to do what they think is right. And most importantly, don't listen to your friends who make all your decisions for you, because you're just living their life. Virtue is the name of that creative force that goes through everything. We don't understand it. Electricity is the same. We don't understand electricity. We love the benefits. You know, the lights are on in the house. The furnace is running because electricity makes it go. All those things that electricity helps make our life and our house more comfortable, we like it. But don't you dare grab a hold of some bare wires or stick your finger in a socket or go to the fuse box and put your hand in there, because that electricity, which you love and care about and you appreciate, it'll do some serious damage. So what am I saying? Learn how to handle that power within, that electricity within, that God within, that virtue. Virtue really is something that we learn how to handle all of our lives. You know, that's where those coincidences and those lucky charms and all those things happen that we associate with. My God, that was not lucky. I had a flat tire on my car, and thank God I did, because if I had kept on going down the road, I would have run right into that bridge that was washed out the night before, and I would have been in serious trouble. Thank God for that flat tire. However, when you got the flat tire, that isn't what you were thinking, were you? You were jumping up and down, and you were cursing, maybe, you know, saying, oh, gosh, darn it, or something like that. But again, to be in harmony with that virtue is to be in harmony with yourself. Forgive yourself, love yourself. The world is a very violent and unpredictable place. It has things of beauty, and it has conditions that we have to watch out for. We have to survive in this world. We have to survive. The world provides everything, but we have to do something to work within it, to take advantage of. We have dominance over the world. We can cut down trees and make houses. We can do all kinds of things. We can go fishing and raise animals and plant crops and survive. We have to do something. And that use of that creative energy, that virtue, is what life is all about. So tonight's show, we've talked about many things with several people. And like usual, we hope we've been informative and we've helped you understand the world a little more and helped you with your own steps to your own advancement, your own progression, and indeed, your own enlightenment. So, Paul, last word before we go tonight. You're standing in for Doug. You've done a wonderful double-duty job here tonight being the co-host and also being the producer here on the Global Village radio show.
Well, I don't think I could ever stand in completely for Doug. He does such a good job too, along with you. But He'll be back next week. I wanted to ask you, Douglas, concerning the conference in Fort Worth next week. You started out the show early on talking about the DNA of your soul and junk DNA. And you mentioned that you believe your entire spiritual journey is recorded. Are you speaking about the Akashic field that you've written about? Are you speaking about the Akashic records where everything in your life is recorded and available to access later? Is that the same thing?
You'll have to come to the workshop and find out, Paul.
Okay. Well, you know I might stop by, I'm sure.
We sure hope you will. Okay. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure. You're right. I'll choose my words better. You've helped tonight as the co-host, and we look forward to Doug coming back, who will be back more than likely. He's in new digs, as they say. He's moved to the country. We hope his Wi-Fi internet connection is up to par, but he's really moved, I wouldn't say off the grid, but he's moved into some wonderful place where there is huge fresh water, wonderful tourist kind of area, an old established little town sort of on the way over towards Kingston, Ontario, and in that part of the neighborhood, on the way to to the good country. But in any event, we'll see how things work out. But I want to wish everybody a good evening. We're coming to the end of the show here, and we want to tell everybody how much we appreciate them. Especially, we have been informed tonight of our suspicions that things are not running as smoothly at downtown base camp, boot camp, Blog Talk Radio, and yet again, we're going to have a talk. So stay tuned, my friends. If you're listening right now, go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and put your email address in the email mailing list little slot. No matter if you've done it before, put it in there again, because apparently, as we're finding out, Gmail does strange things, and it doesn't hurt to re-up with your email address. It'll say right on their email list and ask you to type it in. It is permission-based, so that's why you have to do it. We can't do it for you. And indeed, it's all private and only used for my getting notices out to you, my friends. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight. And, with this snowstorm that I'm in over here and one across the country, it's frigid cold, but I think it's going to lift between now and next Tuesday or Wednesday, and the sun will be shining. And keep looking up and see about that balloon going across the sky. I think it's probably coming over your way in Tennessee, Kentucky area there pretty soon, Paul.
I'm going to get a big needle and pop it.
There's some talk about maybe it shouldn't get too far away from the coast before they pop it and bring it down. But they don't want to do anything over the mainland. They don't want any debris and whatever's in there, they don't want it crashing down. Apparently has electronic equipment and things. So good luck with that. We'll say goodnight, everybody. God bless, and stay safe. I'm signing off. This is Douglas James Cottrell and Paul Hughes wishing you the very best. May God bless you with health, wealth, and peace of mind. Good night, my friends. God bless. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village International Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by Mind Probe Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell and Associates Incorporated. Copyright 2022, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.